I seen that video. We've been gone for a week. We took a vacation, and I missed the fellows already, just seeing them. If you have your Bible, turn it to the book of Job. I want to preach tonight for just a little bit. I've been stuck in Job for a little while, and I've been in a lot of churches since the Lord saved me, and I'm amazed that I'm been asked to preach tonight, and I'm amazed that from who I was that I would even be welcomed in a church, let alone stand behind a pulpit in a church. But the Lord is very good and patient, and he's long-suffering that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he will change a life. And nobody's too far gone. I learned some things about Job, and I've grown to love him more and more as a preacher and as a man of God. I want chapter 29 in the book of Job. And I'll start reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, 'Oh, that I were in months past as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through the darkness. As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were round about me, when I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil. When I went out to the gate through the city,' Job said, 'when I prepared my seat in the street.'" I want to read that verse one more time because it's emphasized there with an exclamation point. I've learned to not overlook punctuation in the Word of God, that it was emphasized here that Job, I saw something about Job here, that he was a street preacher. And that I preached on the streets of Toronto, Canada. I've preached on the streets of Chicago, Illinois. I've been all over. I've been to Elkton, Maryland, Baltimore, Maryland, Bristol, Virginia, Cincinnati, Ohio, New Orleans many times, and my family has traveled with us to a lot of those places. And we've been on the streets of our cities. And I know that it's nice to see some folks join the church that have big bank accounts. But our country is made up of a lot of folks, especially these days. There's a whole generation of folks that are living in around our cities in the woods, in tents. Some of them can't even get out of their tent anymore to go to the bathroom, and it's hard to walk up to them and just smell to talk to them. Job was a street preacher. It's amazing to me. I want to continue reading. Job, in verse 7, "When I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street," that word seat, I looked it up, and it means it was his chosen dwelling place in the city, his place that he ministered to people that were walking by. He says in verse 8, "The young men saw me and hid themselves." The young men, those were the men that were the product of the society of the day. "The young men saw me and hid themselves. And the aged arose and stood up. The princes refrained," those were the leaders of the time, "the princes refrained talking and laid their hand upon their mouth. The nobles held their peace and the tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth." These were people that they didn't want to talk with Job. They put up with Job. Job was preaching out there on the streets, and everybody had different attitudes towards the street preacher. The Bible said in verse 11, "When the ear heard me, then it blessed me." When anybody would stop to listen to what he had to say, Job was excited about that. There was a lot that didn't want to hear. We obviously, some we'd already read, that some just walked by and couldn't wait to get past him. "When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. Because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help." I can't even hardly read that verse. And to think about the broken people that are out there. And yeah, there are people out there doing things that they ought not be doing. But I know from my own self, my own experience, I never as a child grew up thinking one day that's what I'm going to be. People get tangled up in sin and don't know how to get out. He went on in verse 13 and said, the blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me. How in the world is that possible that somebody like me could be a blessing to somebody without hope, somebody that had no hope at all at one point in my life? If there's a blessing to be had, it's going to be from you, from somebody that doesn't have any hope. If they're going to ever have any hope, it's going to be because of you. Job was going through the darkest of his days. And I know our world right now is going through the darkest of its days. And I can tell you from knowing about Job, the world needs the greatest of preachers in the darkest of days. And I've been in a lot of churches all over, to Canada, I've been to Mexico, I've been to St. Lucia, I've been to Haiti, I've been to India. Lord has given me the opportunity to go to a lot of places. Somebody has said one time in ministry early, has said, if money was no object, would you do it? And to think if I was going to take this ministry, knowing what it was going to take up front, the Garden City Rescue, it takes $13,000 plus a month to run that ministry. And people think, well, there's a lot of better things to invest in than drunkards and addicts. A women's ministry was something that would be money more well spent. God makes this happen every month. It's nothing to him. I don't know where the money comes from. He just puts it on people's hearts and they give. I'm not good at raising money. I was the worst missionary out there, I think, ever crossed the pulpit of a church to go sell myself and say, you should support me. The Bible said in verse 13, the blessing of him that was ready to perish, Job said, came upon me. And I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness and it clothed me, and my judgment was a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind and feet was eye to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. That tells me pages right there about Job, that a lot of people see and make judgments about folks, but Job said, I didn't want to make a judgment. I sat down and talked to him, and I found out what their life was about. I try to find out, how did they get to this place? We see somebody trying to pawn money at a traffic light. We sometimes shake our head, and I sit there and I wonder, how did they get to the place where they had to get to where they're doing that? I wonder what it took to get to that place to do something like that. Because the Bible, David said, I was young, now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And that tells me right there, that's somebody that needs to know Jesus. I was a father to the poor, he said, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. And I break the jaws of the wicked, and I pluck the spoil out of his teeth. Then I said, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. My root was spread out by the waves, and the dew lay all night upon my branch. My glory was fresh in me, and my bow was renewed in my hand. Unto me men gave ear, and waited and kept silence at my counsel. Something about, it's amazing to me, I could go into the jails and start preaching, and over at Johnson State Prison in Wrightsville, before they... before it got too big for too long, we had over 500 show up in one service, regularly for a long time. And it was amazing to me that I could stand up and open up the Word of God and God could just get everybody's attention. And here I see Job, and Job said in verse 21, and unto me men gave ear, And it amazed him that happened, and kept silence at my counsel. And they would stop and hear what he had to say about Jesus, what he had to say about God. In verse 22, and after my words, they spake not again, and my speech dropped upon them. And they waited for me as for the rain. There were some that couldn't wait to hear the preacher again. It was the best thing they'd heard all day. And they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. If I laughed on them, they believed it not. If somebody was thinking somebody, Job was joking about somebody out there, he said they would never believe him. And the light of my countenance they cast not down. I chose out their way and sat chief and dwelt as a king in the army, as one that comforted the mourners. It amazes me how Job looked at the ministry that God gave him, that he was king of the part of the army that God put him in. A lot of people don't know me. A lot of people don't understand the homeless ministry. A lot of people don't even consider it. But I feel like God's given me a big task to do that I can do that a lot of other people won't do or can't do. God, I believe that God took somebody without any hope, and he said, he put more hope in me in one moment than I ever had in my whole life. And God said, I want you to keep hope alive. Hope was alive way before I came along, but God said he wanted me to go tell other people about Jesus because he can change somebody's life. He can save somebody. I like what Job, I'm going to continue, not to the whole chapter, but just a few more verses. In chapter 30, but now they that are younger than I have me in derision, whose fathers I would have disdained to have set with the dogs of my flock. There are people out there that are raising children right now, and the children, Job talked about they're the fathers of these young people out there. He said, I wouldn't even let them sit with the dogs of my flock, because of the men they've turned out to be. Yea, whereto might the strength of their hands profit me, in whom old age was perished? For want and famine they were solitary, fleeing unto the wilderness, and in former time desolate and waste, who cut up mallows by the bushes and juniper roots for their meat. These people were living rough. They were driven forth from among men. They cried after them as after a thief, to dwell in the cities, to dwell in the cliffs of the rocks and the caves of the earth, and then the rocks. Among the bushes they brayed, under the nettle they were gathered together. They were children of fools, yea, children of base men. They were viler than the earth, Job says. In verse 9 he says, and now am I their song. Now they had it this bad, and now they're talking about the preacher. Yea, I am their byword, he says. They abhor me, they flee far from me, and spare not to spit in my face, because he had loosed my cord and afflicted me. They have also let loose the bridle before me. I want to just skip over to verse 25, and the Bible, Job said, did not I weep for him that was in trouble? Was not my soul grieved for the poor? I can't even help but think about the context of where this verse is, that this is in the middle of Job. Done lost everything. He didn't just lose one of his children. He lost all of his family. Everybody but his wife. And all he's sitting here and talking about and thinking about is that one soul that's out there grieved. If just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, did not I weep for him that was in trouble? Was not my soul grieved for the poor? And then I jump over to chapter 31, and in verse 30, my eyes are a little blurry. Verse 32, the Bible said, Job said this, the stranger did not lodge in the street. but I opened my door to the traveler. It's not just a coincidence that God is blessing the Garden City Rescue Mission. You know that this is way before it was ever in the heart of Job. I believe this was in the heart of God. That God put his heart into Job, and Job saw people the way God saw people. I don't know where Job started before God blessed him so much and he had so much, but he knew what it was like not to have nothing. And that was his whole ministry. My text verse would have to be chapter 29, verse 7. When I went out to the gate to the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, I learned some things sitting over there at the Garden City Rescue Mission. I get done talking to some of the fellows, and I listen to, I've got a testimony. The Lord's got a testimony in my life. And I get to share his testimony in my life in some places from time to time. But to hear some other people's stories about how they got to where they're at, and they don't know Jesus yet. But I sit there and I listen to story after story, and I see sometimes somebody, they won't turn to Christ yet, and they're just not ready. They're not at their wits' end yet. And I see this, and I sit there in my office, and I just have to shut my door. And I just pray, and I cry, and I weep. And I feel like, and I read these about verses about Job, and I see the same burden that he had to see one more soul get saved, to see one more person, to know what God has done for all of us, and to see one more person reject him and not even give him a chance to even know what he had done for them. And it burdened Job, and I know this, it burdens my heart. I thank God. I never thought I'd ever live this long after I got saved. I remember Greg Bird, and I was talking to his son, and we were sitting there. I was only saved just 4 or 5 months, and we were sitting out there. It was a cloudy day, and he said, Brother Pat, he said, you see those clouds up here? I said, yes, sir. He said, one of these days I'm gonna be in one of those clouds with Jesus. I said, amen, me too. And so we're going to meet him in the air. I've learned some lessons. I don't want to get sidetracked. I want to get to this. I won't preach very long. I just want to give you the outline that I've got real quick. And I learned some lessons, the lessons from a street preacher tonight. And trying to cap what the ministry the Lord's given us and the burden and that God's given us for the people, not just on the streets of Augusta, Georgia, but if God would allow me to and let us ever come back to Brunswick, I'm okay with that. I never thought I'd live this long to see children of my own. I want to see them love the Lord. I see them have a desire to love people. I see them serving the Lord in different places. Lessons from a street preacher. When you look at these streets in the times of Job, I asked myself some questions. I said, what do these streets look like through Job's eyes? And when you read chapter 29, I see that the streets there didn't look a whole lot different than the streets look today in our time. We see the young men, we see the princes, we see the nobles. The princes were the rulers of the time. The nobles were the go-between the rulers and the peasant people like me. And so these people all wagged their head and they had their opinion about the preacher and the preaching and those Jesus freaks. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And Job didn't have no, if anybody knew anything about God at the time, I believe they heard it from Job. What kind of people did he notice? He noticed all them people that I'm with the Baptist Mission Forgotten Peoples. All them people that everybody else is used to and walks by. And then I asked myself, and I noticed the types of people. I noticed the sights that he saw from his seat in the street. I noticed Job's attributes. What made him a perfect man, one that was perfect and upright, one that sheweth evil, one that feareth God and sheweth evil? Here's Job's that. What made him perfect and upright? And I believe it was what was in the heart of God was in the heart of Job, and Job was living that out, and he was reaching people for the cause of Christ. The type of Christian that God could use to witness even to a fallen angel. I mean, that's a pretty awesome man of God, that God would use him for something like that. I look at today and I see the same darkness today, plenty of spiritually sidetracked people everywhere we go. I never thought going in that when God called me to preach, I just went to Brother Clayton one day and I said, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to go to Bible college. I don't know if he remembers it, but he said, that'll get God's attention. And I'm with Brother Mike. I don't know much about a calling, but I know there was a missionary from the Cape Verde Islands of Africa when we was over in the other building, and he came one night and showed his video, and at the end of the video was a little kid, and he said, would you come tell me about Jesus? And I just wondered, Lord, I would go if nobody else would. And it wasn't long after that, I'm preaching in the jail. I'm getting the burden to go to Bible college. I never was going to be a pastor of a church or anything like that, but I wanted to be able to learn more clearly how to take the Bible and show somebody how to be saved. I'm not real good. I heard right before I was asked to preach, some others said, you know C.T. Townsend? Well, I graduated Bible college with him. You know Brent Carr? I graduated Bible college with him. And they talked about how great Pastor Brown, when he come and preach. And I know these are tremendous preachers, and I'm thinking to myself, I ain't nothing like them. But I found out you don't have to be for God to use you. I know some stuttering preachers. I know some that shake. I know some that don't even have to hardly say nothing, and God can use them. The world needs the greatest of preachers in the darkest of times, and I believe these are the darkest of times. I believe that we are in the very last of the last days. And it was of all people, it was Job who said, did not I weep for him that was in trouble? Was not my soul grieved for the poor? The stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the traveler. If he knew there was somebody out there sleeping under the stars, and he would want to, Job said, I always made a bed for him. We got a place at the Garden City Rescue Mission where people don't have to sleep on the street if they don't want to. But they do make a choice. They agree to stay in at a place where they're going to have to go to a Bible study every in the morning and a chapel service in the night. They agree to that. It's amazing to me that we have that many people every night that want to come and hear the preaching. And then they want to come back and hear some more, and we got some that don't want to leave. But we're not trying to be a hotel for the homeless. We're trying to be a stepping stone where God can save people and encourage people and see people grow in the Lord and see them go off to where God wants to send them next. But the world needs the greatest of Christians in the darkest of days. And lessons from a street preacher, number one, here I see in the book of Job, I see a lesson about friendship. A lesson of friendship. His friends were spiritually sidetracked. These were the people that Job called friends. I don't have a lot of friends in the ministry. I count Brother Mike my friend. I count Brother Clayton my friend. But I don't have y'all over here, and I'm way over there, and I don't get to see many people around me. I don't know how many people Job had around his life, but he didn't have many that he could really call friends. And then he had three friends. And so we see a lesson, Lord's teaching me here, a lesson about friendship. His friends were spiritually sidetracked. His biggest critics were his friends. They criticized everything about his life and his ministry, and he was doing everything right, and that's why everything was falling down around him. And so I see this lesson about friendships and people who these friends were people he probably met on the street. Just somebody else that was passing by, and the preacher, God got their attention through the preacher's preaching, and they stopped long enough to hear something from Job, and they stopped and probably stopped more than once, and Job was friend to these men. I don't know how friendly they was to Job, but we know this, Job was a friend to them. And I know that Jesus called Judas friend, and I don't know how much of a friend Judas was to Jesus, but I know this, Jesus was always a friend to Judas. And so I see here a lesson about friendship. He was always friend to them. And Job had, I don't know anybody that had more money than Job. And Job, if he was going to be around a certain kind of people, it surely would not be these people. But I saw this about his friends. In 2 Corinthians 1:4, the Bible said, talking about the Lord, who comfort us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort we which ourselves are also comforted of the Lord. And Job did this, and he wrote these verses after he lost everything, but he never lost the purpose of why he was still here. I saw this about friends, his friends. They were miserable comforters. Hurting people hurt people. And I'm sure that if you try to intermingle in the street ministry and people in need like the ministry we have, I've been in the place where people have cussed me out and I'm trying to help them. And you think, well, they don't deserve any help. I don't know. I don't deserve any help either, but I know this. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Do good to those. I believe everything just about opposite of everything that we want to do is what Jesus said. And I saw this a lesson about friendship. They were miserable comforters, but Job witnessed to them. They came and talked about Job, and they were misled, and they were critical. The people that he was called to reach. I don't know if Sharon remembers much about the 2 years that she witnessed to me and all that I might have had to say to her, and I thank the Lord that my memory is not that great. But I remember some things. And the first time she met me, she said, if you let God, he'd take that filth out of your mouth, and he'd change your life if you let him. And I went up there, and I know we talked to other people around, other men. I talked to other men that worked there at the plant, and everybody had something to say about Sharon Henderson. The very people that Job was witnessing to were misled, and they were critical of Job and his situations and his life. They thought that the problems that he was going through was because God was judging him. No, it wasn't God judging him. It was Satan judging him. Satan thought that everybody was like him. But there are some people out there that need the Lord and love the Lord, and God is good to everybody. And God, he's a friend that stick it close in there. He's a friend even to Satan. His friends, they were miserable comforters. They were misled and critical. But I found out this about Job's friends. They were the mission of his calling. I've read the book of Job, and I've just about memorized the book of Job. And if I ever get to the place I've read it that much, I've memorized some chapters in the Word of God, and I can't even tell you how. But I've read these verses enough. I've almost read some of these words off the pages. These men were the mission of his calling. The whole book of Job, I found out this. I sat at Bible Baptist Church, and I was in Bible Baptist Church, and to me, those were the glory days, you know. And these are glorious days that we're in now. But I remember over at the other facility where we had chairs up and down the aisles on both sides, and they had put chairs in the back, and there were people standing up because there wasn't any more room to put any more chairs. And that little foyer in the front, there were 30 people at least packed in that little foyer in the front. And at the front door, the glass door, there was Miss Jean Boland waiting to see if the person she invited was going to show up. And that one person at that time was me. She had invited me. And then the first time she invited me, I didn't show up. And the next week, she was there waiting to see. And when I came in through those doors and I wormed my way through all them people that was patting me on the back, telling me how good they were, glad they was to see me, acting like they wasn't choking all the smoke that was covering my body. All I wanted to do was get away from them. But what I found out later, all them people was packed in that little foyer for a reason. They all, from my perspective, wanted to be the person at the glass door. To see the person that they had invited was going to show up. And what I saw was that church was going, the Bible Baptist church was going through revival, and I was a product of a revival. And I see Job going, his revival still hadn't wore off, even in all the trouble in his life. And I see these friends, they weren't friends to him, but Job was a friend to them. because of what everything that happened to Job, I don't see any other outcome except at the end of the book of Job, these three men got right with God. And God blessed Job because Job was willing to give up everything to see one more soul find the truth about Jesus. These were men that probably heard Job talk about him as they passed by, and they thought they knew something. But they were misled, and they were critical about the preacher. Be careful about criticizing the man of God, because we don't always understand everything like we should. I'm almost scared to preach anymore. The more I read, the more I learn, the more dumber I find out that I am. I see a lesson about friendship here in the book of Job, but I also see a lesson about faith. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I want to be done here in just a second. But a lesson about friendship. Do you know somebody out there who needs a friend? I wasn't here in town very long, but this afternoon we went by the, out there by the river, by the old jail over there. And I just saw over by the old lighthouse looking little building. I don't even know what it is, but it was just a congregation of homeless folks, and some of them up to no good. But I saw just as many folks that wasn't homeless over there on Jaco Island covering the beaches on a Sunday that needed the same Jesus those homeless folks need. But I saw something else about Job. I learned not only a lesson about friendship, about not that we're supposed to be friends with people who want to be friends with us, but we're supposed to be friends to people that need Jesus. And I saw this, a lesson of faith. His faith was always seen. His faith was always seen in his sorrow. About his friendship, his friends were spiritually sidetracked. But his faith was always seen in his sorrow. I found out this. Job said in Job 13:13, he said, "Hold your peace, let me alone that I may speak, and let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh and my teeth and put my life in my hand? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." I saw a lesson about faith. I can tell you, over the last 19 years since the Lord saved me, and I went full time in the ministry, and I never went into it for the money. Me and my wife had never went into it for the money. And we're not making a bunch of money. We're able to pay our bills, and we're still waiting to get enough money so we can get her on insurance, but we don't even have enough money for that yet. So we're paying our bills, and we're being faithful to that. But I can tell you, to take on another ministry, we got to have $13,000 a month every month, and we don't have that promised at all for this month. And God's provided it for the last 20 years. May 1st was 20 years at the Garden City Rescue Mission. I think if God can come up with that money for those homeless folks, that God can take care of $5 if I needed it to serve him. I don't have to worry about that. I found out this, the just shall live by faith, and without faith it's impossible to please him. I found out this, a lesson about faith from the book of Job, that Job, faith is a powerful tool. That God said through the man of God, through the word of God, if you had faith the size of a grain of mustard seeds, you could say that this mountain moved hitherto. And that's an amazing thing, and I haven't been able to see that yet, but I've seen God do some great things through faith. I just stepped out, and God ain't let me fall. Faith is a powerful tool. By grace are you saved through faith. It's a powerful tool. God said that he had given a measure of faith. He had given some to every man, that every one of us have a measure of faith. Faith is not only a powerful tool, but it's a product of truth. The Bible said in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They heard the preacher preach, and they got faith, and they came to Christ. There's a lot of men that, through the testimony of Job, come to Jesus. Faith is a powerful tool. Faith is a product of truth. Faith poses a target. If you're going to live by faith, I can promise you this, Satan's going to try it. But I found out this, God is faithful. Even when we're not faithful, God still abides faithful. I found out this faith, God, through Job, has given us a great lesson about faith. And faith is what produces a testimony. The greatest Christians in my life I've ever met were right here at Bible Baptist Church. I have the utmost respect for every, I see familiar faces all over the building. I see the greatest of Christians that were in my day in the darkest of times. I needed the greatest of Christians in my darkest of times. And I believe God sent me the best. He's got an army here at Garden City Rescue Mission. I'm always standing behind the pulpit trying to reach out to those fellows. Faith produces a testimony. One thing they said to me about preaching in the jail, I preached every day for years, every day of the week over in Aiken County Detention Center there for a while back. They let us go every day. And when I came through, they would say, "Here comes Faithful. Here comes Faithful." They didn't say it was good. They didn't say anything else, but they said, "Here comes Faithful." And they wonder what Faithful was going to say next, and so they show up because they never knew what I was going to say next. But one thing about faith is it produces a testimony, and it produced a testimony of Job. But even in sorrow, Job's faith was always found the Savior. In his sorrow, his faith always found the Savior. And we go through some hard times, and I've been through some hard times. And my to-go thing was always suicide. And some people, if that's all you've ever known, that's what you always do. And there was times where I was trying to find a way out, and I thought, well, I was like Saul or Paul when he said, "I'm going to straight betwixt two, having the desire to part and be with Christ," which is far better. And there's many a time I've thought to myself, "Lord, it sure would be good if I could come on home now." And I'm sure that Job sat there and he said, "Sure would be good if I could go home now." But Job's faith always found the Savior. One thing about the book of Job is I never saw Job, I never heard or read about Job ever even accusing or bringing Satan into the picture. He never gave him any credit, even for all the trouble that he was facing because of him. All he did was talk about Jesus. And I can promise you this, he's what needs to be talked about. He's what people need to hear. Thank God for Sharon Henderson that stood and witnessed to me and had the courage to hang out the window of a guard shack and say, "Son, you need Jesus in your heart." And there's people out there that would witness to me, and people, I need family members to hear the gospel too. But I'm not going to go. There's been times and I thought, "God, you should take me out of the ministry. You shouldn't let me stay in the ministry." I was ashamed, like the Apostle Paul, the least of the apostles. I felt even unworthy. Job's faith always found the Savior. Job's faith allowed him to be a friend of sinners. Job's faith helped him to face the attacks of Satan. In Job 19:23, "Oh, that my words were now written," Job said. He had no idea that God was penning it for eternity. "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed in me." Through Job, I see some lessons. Lord's teaching me some lessons from a street preacher, a lesson about friendship. And I think a lot of times we get our friendship whole idea all mixed up biblically. That we're supposed to be. God didn't say for the church to come into the church. He said for the church, you are now entering the mission field, is what it says on the back wall. The church is supposed to go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And some of them out there, God knew what he was talking about. I see a lesson about faith, a lesson about friendship. And lastly, in closing, I see a lesson about our fight. I see that Job here, our fight has an adversary. Ain't no doubt about it. The fight that we have is a good fight. I fought a good fight, Paul said. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. But not only our fight has an adversary. We know it's going to be attacked. We know that we're going to not want to go witness. We know Satan's going to try, the principalities of the air are going to try to take away our courage to go and walk up to somebody and talk to them about Jesus. But our fight has an adversary. We know that up front. But our fight also has an authority. that God has commissioned us. He said that God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. We which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Well, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. One thing I see about Job, lessons from a street preacher of all people I've never seen in all my life, that the ministry that God gave me was similar to the ministry that God gave Job. And what God put inside the heart of Job, the same God put that in the heart of me. And I don't know that anybody will ever be like Job. I can't wait to stand in heaven next to Jesus and see Job. But about his fight had an adversary. And I guarantee you, your fight to win people to Christ and tell people about Jesus, it's got an adversary too. His fight also had an authority, but I also know this, that our fight has an authority. And it's greater than our adversary. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. And our fight also has an agenda, because Job's fight has an agenda. In the last, in the book of Job, in the end, God told his friends, Job's friends, to go and ask Job to pray for him. And the captivity of Job was turned when he prayed for his friends. I know I've always thought that the captivity of Job was turned when he finally prayed for his friends. No, I saw when the mission of his calling was done, that's when his trial ended. The whole purpose of that was, for what I see was, three people got right with God. And to me, I don't know how many millions of dollars God might invest into that ministry over there at the Garden City Rescue Mission. I don't know. Is it worth it? I can tell you one person that says, all the money you spent at Bible Baptist Church to keep them lights open and doors open, it was worth it to me when I came through. I know I see men come through the Garden City Rescue Mission. Can't even find veins anymore. You see them weeping on the altar at the mission. And they get saved. I can tell you, they'll say it was worth it to them to have Jesus in their heart. The Lord's teaching me a lot of things. I see a lot of things in ministry. I just shake my head and I wonder, don't make sense. I don't have to make sense of all that. I want to keep my focus. Learn these lessons that God's taught me through the Word of God from a man named Job, a street preacher, who made his seat in the street, exclamation point. Where has God put you? Our mission field is out these doors. And somebody can't wait to have one more person cross their path and tell them what they know they need to hear. Jesus loves them. What's happening with you? Can I pray with you? God will give you what to say. I appreciate and I thank the Lord for the liberty tonight to come, and Dr. Landrum. think about you often. I pray for you often. And I thank the Lord for leading me to a place where people was praying. You all prayed for me. Sharon made sure for 2 years before I got saved. And of all places, God led me to Bible Baptist Church. There's no coincidence I came through the doors. There's no coincidence some of you came through the doors. God is the authority. He knows where we need to be, right when we need to be here. That's all I've got tonight. I'm going to turn it over, preacher.
Amen. I'm going to have Christine start to play. And I'll just, I won't say much, but to say, he said this a couple times. He said, faith produces a testimony. Did you hear that? Faith produces a testimony. Does yours? Does your faith produce a testimony? Take a moment, pray, do business with God, and then we'll close out the service.